This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the buy-in has been tremendous. It has been a pleasure to work with these guys. I can count the number of practices since we got here on one hand that I haven't been totally excited about the effort and the chemistry that's building out there. So I do believe these guys love what they do. They're invested. They're buying into the culture. They're practicing hard. I think that'll translate to playing hard. Now the key is how quickly can we come together and put a product out there on the field to look as if we've been together for a few years and not just a few months.
So that's UB Bulls football head coach Pete Lembo. That was last year when he was hired, and he had come from South Carolina. He had been a coach before in the MAC, and people were wondering, okay, you know, what's he bring? New college sports landscape. How is he going to adjust? And it's been great. He's done a great job. Pete Lembo and the Bulls at UB have apparently reached an agreement on a new contract extension, according to Pete Thamel. And good for him. They went 9-4. They went to the Bahamas Bowl last year. And I think Pete Lembo's done a great job of navigating this college sports landscape. And you got a good coach here at the University of Buffalo. But it's always changing. And that's why I wanted to reach out to my buddy Brent Axe, Syracuse.com. Joins me right now on the West Her Hotline to talk about the changing landscape of college sports and covering it. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Sally. How we doing?
I'm doing great, man. Always good to catch up with you. You know, I did not book you specifically to talk about, you know, Syracuse, what they would do last night. But after last night's performance, I mean, how can we not start with what the hell is going on with Syracuse basketball? Because I am probably one of many who would just say the word apathy is very much going on here, where I used to love watching this team, following everything about this team on a daily basis. Couldn't wait for them to play again. And it's just so different now, Brent. It just really sucks.
Sal, that's the biggest problem they face. You took the words right out of my mouth. People are not passionate. They're not angry. You can't get angry about sports, like sports anger, right? But people don't care anymore. I'm hearing from a number of people, and you just reiterated it, that they're like, oh, did they lose last night? I didn't watch the game. Or what's going on? Like, they're just checking out. There's just so many other options these days. And even fans that kind of qualify themselves as diehards or longtime fans or whatever the case may be, there's just not a draw to watch this team. And then they go out last night and you lose to – look, it's one thing to lose to Duke by 30, but you go out and you lose to the last place team in the ACC that had won a single – game in the league. They've got an interim coach. Miami's been a mess this year. They got a couple of great players, don't get me wrong. Matthew Cleveland's going to play in the NBA, and they've got some talent. But that's the rock bottom loss in the Autry era. And this is somebody who's had 16 double digit losses in his time at Syracuse, and there's been some real head scratchers this year and in his tenure, but man, to just go out there and not play defense at all and fall on your face to the team and at the bottom of the league. This is what's happening now, Sal. People aren't really, I mean, there's certainly a faction out there that is passionate, and I hear from them daily, but that's the bigger concern here, is people that are just checking out and being like, okay, when's spring football start? Or, you know, the lacrosse team is pretty good, or what's on Netflix, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Well, let me get to then the core of the issue. Is it Red Autry? Is it NIL money? Is it just not the right players? Where? What are you hearing? What are you seeing when you evaluate all this?
I still don't know what Syracuse basketball is under Red Autry, and he has been the coach here for two seasons. I still see a lot of the same problems on the court at the end of the Boeheim era. I don't know what his identity is. He has this hashtag, this branding thing called the Orange Standard. I have no idea what that is. Nobody does. This team plays poor defense. They constantly go under screens. I don't know what the offense is. It's supposedly an offense where everybody moves the ball and we move fast. You say a lot about what you liked and didn't like about the Jim Boeheim era and at the end when it was fading. Like, you knew who he was and you knew what they were, right? They had an identity. This team still does not have an identity. So that's a problem. Syracuse misfired in the portal big time. Now, Eddie Lampkin, I think, has been as good as you can get at center on the offensive end. He certainly has his flaws. You got to take the good with the bad with Lampkin, and they paid about $500,000 for him. And he's a serviceable center. The other point, like Jaquan Carlos, is not a point guard at this level. And the other players they brought in the portal are just kind of, you know, serviceable players, but not ACC level guys. So now, Sal, you got to go out next year and reload in the portal. And you have Kion Anthony coming in, who is Carmelo's son, as most of you know, who's a good offensive player. But the fear has to be, is he getting overrated a bit because of what his last name is? Sadiq White comes in, who's a top 40 prospect, who's, think of Hakeem Warrick. He is a Hakeem Warrick, long, athletic, can explode to the basket, pretty good defender, but they're still freshmen. So now you've got to go convince people that have money to give Syracuse that money to go find players in the portal. Now, when the house settlement goes through, and it's expected to, now teams and programs are going to be given a budget of $20 million to spend. But you got to remember, that's on every program. So how much of that do you allocate to football, basketball, and the other sports down the line? Knowing that Syracuse is going to have to reasonably spend, boy, $4 to $6 million at least on good talent in the portal for college basketball. They did hire a general manager, which is just kind of standard these days in college sports. So they're doing all the right things. It's just, do you have the coach in place that can coach this talent, can identify the talent, and can reload in a season where, Sal, they're going to miss the tournament for the fourth straight year? That's an eternity by Syracuse standards. So you're putting so much pressure on next year to fix this whole thing.
Okay, so I wonder if it's too, if it's right to pull the plug on Adrian Autry. And I hate saying that. Love Red. Went to school while Red was there. But the signs are there, right? That I don't know if he is the right man for the job. People say, but you got this great recruiting class coming in next year. It doesn't matter to me because you can replenish in recruiting now because of the way it's all set up, right? I mean, this is the quandary that someone like me turns in my stomach and in my head about all this stuff, to be honest with you, Brent.
These are all fair questions. And do you go all in on a season next year because you're bringing in Carmelo Anthony's kid? And that's the key. Right. Like, is Kion Anthony committed to Adrian Autry or is he committed to Syracuse? So what if, and Carmelo has said, Sal, that he's going to be around the program more. And look, you can't ask Carmelo to give you more money. He donated right. A huge sum of money for the practice facility. He's literally giving you his firstborn child. Like, what more can you ask Carmelo Anthony to do? But you cannot let one recruit or two recruits or a class coming in basically be the reason you bring a coach back. You have got to take a hard look at this if you're John Wildhack. And the problem with that is, Sal, and I'm not saying this is not a reason to do it, but from what I understand, Autry's got a 5-year contract. So if you're going to make that move, you got to buy out 2 years of his deal. Syracuse mm-hmm. doesn't do that. Syracuse, mm-hmm. to my knowledge, there might be one or two examples I'm not thinking of here, but when they fire coaches, it's usually there's a year left on their deal. Well, Jim Boeheim had a year left on his deal. Dino Babers had a year left on his deal. Scott Schaefer, same deal. When they've made head coaching changes, they're not paying guys out for 2 years not to coach. So you got to consider that, but we're in a different era now where everything is accelerated and it might lose more than you gain by bringing a coach back if this continues.
The football team has seemed to figure it out with Fran Brown. So when you look at the entire college landscape, you're covering this, you've covered college sports for many years, Brent. When you look at how teams are approaching hiring coaches, what is, from what you've seen, kind of like what they need to do? Is it the guy who's going to do the best in the portal? Is it the guy who, just give me players and I'll coach them because I'm a coach? Like, how do you figure that out? And what have you seen?
Fran so far has been the consummate example of this sale because he showed receipts in both areas. So you hire Fran Brown, he gets Kyle McCord from Ohio State. Now, the cheat code there was Fran knew Kyle McCord. There were family connections back to the days. He called him Little League Kyle when he was watching Kyle McCord and Pop Warner football in seventh grade. They had an in, they had the money, they went all in on a quarterback, and it worked. And meanwhile, Fran Brown strings together a recruiting class that Syracuse had never seen. So he shows results before they get on the field, and then they come out and win 10 games this year. So now Fran Brown, at least it's only 1 year, and now you have to sustain it. And Syracuse has one of the hardest schedules in college football next year, so I'm going to be as fascinated as anybody to see if they can do it. He showed receipts. He showed an identity. His dart philosophy. He sent that message to fans, like, this is who we are, this is what we do, and we need you to be a part of it, right? So Fran came in and established an identity, which Autry, and I know this is not an apples-to-apples or oranges-to-oranges comparison, if you will, football to basketball, but he established an identity. He brought in a key player at the key position, which led to other players transferring in. You still have to recruit. Through all this stuff, Sal, you still have to recruit in college sports. And then he proved it on the field. So makes it look easy, right? So you have an example in the building of what can happen when you do get bold and make a move and spend a little money. And the people that were giving money to the program sale, not all of them, but a considerable amount of money came in from people that were hesitant to give it before, right? Because they were motivated. A spark was lit by doing something new. So now you got to go out and get money from people who may be what you said at the beginning of this conversation. They may be apathetic towards Syracuse basketball. So I don't care how much money you have. If you come to me and you want a considerable amount of money to invest in players and I'm apathetic about the program, I'm going to look at John Wildhack or whoever's asking me for this cash and say, why am I going to give you $2 million? Like, for what? Like, you're going to be very skeptical of this process. And it should be noted, Sal, that Syracuse in the last couple of weeks has actually hired two new people with a primary focus on fundraising and NIL focus and kind of the modern era we're in here, and there are transactions that aren't quite as sexy as, like, you know, a new coach, but at the very least John Wildhack sees what's happening and he's trying to address it as best as he can. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to go out and get the players. And I know this is not exactly the most encouraging conversation in a way. I'll say this, okay, let's put a little hope out there. You know as well as I do, in basketball, it takes one dude. It takes one dude, and it can turn around the whole thing. So you just got to go find that guy. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, and then you also have some dudes who say, I just can't do this anymore. Jim Larrañaga, Tony Bennett. What's it been like watching and seeing this whole landscape for you? And, like, you know, you and I, we've watched basketball, Big East basketball. The coaches were always the thing. And, like, you know, it pains me to see this happening. And I don't want to be old man yelling at clouds, Brent.
Larrañaga was the one that got me sale because he walked away in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got to stick it out. You got to ride your team out. But he was so disenchanted and worried, like, is there a health issue? And then once we figured out that it wasn't, it's like, come on, wow, this guy, like, how many times has he told his team in some way, shape, or form about commitment and loyalty, and he can't even take it anymore. And he walks away in the middle of the season, right, to see and college basketball is unique in that way, Sal. It's the coaches that are the personalities.
That's
There's certainly players that come up, but because they come and go so quickly, it's the coaches that identify the product. And they're pretty much, with the exception of you know, the Dan Hurleys and the Tom Izzos and a few guys left. They're all gone. So you have this younger generation of coaches coming up trying to establish themselves. And let's face it, they're not as – I mean, Hurley is an exception to the rule. He's a peach. But you don't get that old rivalry sense, you know, Boeheim versus Thompson and Lou Carnesecca. I mean, Rick Pitino's out there kicking ass again, which is great. But, man, that is fading out, unfortunately. And I like that you have those coaches that have personalities. Mick Cronin's another one, right? So maybe there's a few more that I'm thinking of. But the list is getting a lot shorter of those guys that identify the product.
Speaking of that, did you see the video of Danny Hurley last night?
I did.
Oh, my gosh. Talking about personalities. But here's a guy that knows how to do it, right? He checks all the boxes. He can recruit. He's got this great mentality. He can also coach. Like, I'm not worried about X's and O's. Like, if he doesn't have a great team, I know they're not as good this year, but they're still going to contend, you know, when it comes time for March, right? Like, that's the kind of guy. I mean, I know you can't just grab a Danny Hurley, but that's what I mean. Like, am I looking for a guy who could just recruit the portal and be the greatest personality? Am I looking for a guy that has just give me the players and I'll coach them? That's what's so tough. But, man, you look at a guy like that, I mean, that's the kind of personality. That resonates now.
And it works in college. Like, can you imagine Dan Hurley doing that with Luka Doncic and LeBron James? Like, the Lakers wanted him. He could be coaching the Lakers right now, but that stuff doesn't fly at that league. It certainly does in college. But point his ring finger and tell a fan in the stands, I got two rings, Baldy. Like,
oh, my God.
You can't help but laugh. But it's the fine line of competitiveness and just being obnoxious. And he straddles that. I've never seen a coach that can't handle adrenaline more than Dan Hurley. Like, that guy gets so wired. And I can't imagine, I mean, that man must not sleep from October to April because he's just got so much adrenaline pumping through his veins.
You excited for the Four Nations face-off? I know you're a hockey guy. Pretty cool stuff going on this week.
Yeah, that's unique, right? Let's do something different. Let's mix it up a little bit. You know, Olympic hockey is as good as it gets, so why not try something like this? Why not try to get a World Baseball Classic type of feel in the middle of the season? And I mean, it just goes to show you that our attention spans are waning, and you got to kind of throw these things, like the NBA does it with the NBA Cup, and every sport seems to have to, like, startle us in the middle of the season to remind us that they're still there. But I'm all for it. Let's try something different.
Hey, buddy, thanks. Thanks for this. Great to catch up. We'll do it again sometime. I appreciate it. I'll still be here, and I'll be there when they do it right and become Syracuse basketball again the way I've known them. But I fear that we're here for a while because I just don't know the path right now.
Thanks for having me, Sal. Plenty of seats available at the Dome if you want to come down. But, yeah, hopefully they put a spark in this thing one way or the other in the near future.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you joining me today. Brent Axe right there, Syracuse.com. And Brent does a great show as well. You can always check him out on Twitter and follow his show and follow his work. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll take a short break, and then it will be Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour. Four Nations Faceoff and the NHL trade deadline approaching as well.